And all of God's people said, probably already know the answer here, but how many of y'all own and know how to use and operate a smartphone? I can already tell you one person in the choir who's not raising his hand. Franklin Barbie. Franklin had a smartphone, but I think it's probably still down with your tractor. If you don't know what a smartphone is, it's a phone that you don't have to actually push the buttons or flip to open up. It's those new phones with the technology that we're able to put these programs or these apps on there that allow us to just do a lot more. And one of those applications that's probably the most popular that people who have smartphones use is the social media apps. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat for the young folks, they tend to use those. And those applications, those programs are good in some sense. We're able to reconnect with friends that we hadn't seen in a million years. We're able to see pictures of family members. And in ministry sense, a lot of times I'll find out about a prayer request or even find out that someone's in the hospital first by looking at Facebook. When my mom passed away almost a year ago, we put the news on Facebook, and there were hundreds and hundreds of comments about that post. Sympathy. And just my dad, who doesn't do Facebook, I showed him, and it gave him such encouragement just to read and know that all those people were thinking about them. And then on a side note there, there's also a stack of cards at our house that, as my mom passed away, that folks sent sympathy cards. I had never been one to send a sympathy card until going through that experience. And so if you're not one who does that, I would encourage you to send those cards out just because it means so much to folks to be able to read and have something in their hands of how much people are praying and thinking about. So these social media apps, they are good in the sense, but also there's a negative side. We can have different opinions and they can be discussed on these social medias, and there can be some types of disagreements or even arguments. You can post pictures that you see your neighbors just got a new deer hunting rifle or stand or whatever, and you're jealous about it, and it leaves you feeling bad. And sometimes even our teenagers, they'll go to school and they'll have situations come up, and with social media, it's like they can't escape it. So then what does the Bible say about all these social medias? How are we supposed to use Facebook and our smartphones and those things? Well, there's not really a lot of specific information that it says about our smartphones or social media, but we're perhaps encouraged just to take the words that Jesus shared with us and the lessons that we find through all of Scripture about how to deal with people, how to treat our neighbor, and apply it to the context that we live in here. We continue our sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and we begin a section of the Ten Commandments that are sometimes referred to as the social commands. If you remember, those first four commandments were referred to as the vertical commands. They deal between our relationship of us and God. As a reminder, that first commandment, let God be God, there's only one God. And we are not God. We are not number one. We're supposed to put God at the center of lives. Then the second command, to not have any idols. The third command, to don't take the Lord's name in vain. If you remember, we said no, OMG, just not to use God's name in a flippant way, but it's to be used in holy ways. And then keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. As a reminder for us, the importance it is to rest, that God created us and we need to follow that example from creation and take a day to rest. And so here we have then the fifth commandment, which we find in Exodus 20, verse 12. This begins the first of the six social commands. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord God has given to you. So then all we have to do here is, if we're honoring mom and dad, and we're talking about the social aspects of it, is we're not supposed to post anything on Facebook or write any comment that would be dishonorable to mom or dad, or we wouldn't want our grandma seeing. I wonder how many of us would change the pictures we would post or the things that we would say if we knew grandma was going to look right over her shoulder and say, I don't think I would say that. Most of us know this fifth command, honor your mother and father, as something that we have been told as children. That means that as children, we're supposed to obey our parents. We're supposed to honor them. Back in the day where children were supposed to be seen and not heard, honor your mother and father. Don't cause any problems. But actually, this command, some would say, applies more to adult children. And so, in turn, they were supposed to honor their mother and father by taking care of their parents who were aging. Now, this has been one of the most challenging things I've seen within church life. When you look at the family's life cycle and the struggles that families have to deal with, seeing folks when their parents get to a certain age and having to care for them, it can be a hard storm or a hard struggle that we talked about folks going through. There was a family in Roanoke, Virginia, who he left his medical practice. He moved all the way back to Memphis, Tennessee to be close to his parents because they were beginning to need more care. And so that was the decision that he made to move his family back home to care for them. And so this was an issue that the Hebrew peoples faced. It was part of their culture to care for their parents, to keep them apart with their inside their home. But at the same time, that wasn't always being the case. They were being abused and neglected. And Jesus comments on this. We see in Mark 7, verses 9 through 13, he was talking to some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down and that you do many things like that. So what was happening here, Jesus made this comment that Hebrew people, and especially during Jesus' time, they weren't caring for their parents. They were not honoring them. They were finding a loophole in this law. So they were able to set aside the money and the time that they were going to use to take care of them, and by making a donation to the temple or a gift that's supposed to be used for God called korban, thereby relinquished them from their obligation to care for their parents. So they weren't honoring their mother and father, and so Jesus was calling them out on that. And so this commandment here is not so much about just young children obeying your parents, but it's for adult children to honor their parents by taking care of them. This is the only commandment that we have here in the Ten Commandments that comes with the promise. If you honor your mother and father, then you're going to live long and that you're going to be able to obtain the land that God's going to give you. So if we don't put our mom and dad in a home, then we're going to live long and God's going to give us land. Not so. This promise was not necessarily a guarantee of an individual, but more for the society. If, as a society, they honor their mother and father, in other words, they take care of them, they provide for them in their time of need as they are getting older, then what they're doing is they're modeling to their children what it means to care for one another. And so in turn, hopefully their children will do the same. So they are training and they are encouraging the younger generations to care for the elders. So then, if we take this fifth commandment and we see it as a social commandment, what then does honoring our mother and father say and relate to our community around us? Let's go back to that first commandment. If you remember, I shared the first commandment, there's only one God. In other words, we summed it up by saying, let God be God. God is in control. God knows what's best. He is our Heavenly Father. And so let's just let Him be in control. But too many times we find ourselves wanting to take charge. We put our needs and our will ahead of what God wants for us. We find ourselves looking across the fence. Our neighbors got the new Benford 5000 zero-turn 200 horsepower lawnmower over there, and he can mow his yard in 5 minutes, and we're taking 2 days with our old Cub Cadet just trying to knock it down. We find ourselves becoming jealous and wanting newer stuff. And so in turn, we want to put ourselves above our neighbor. Even within the family dynamic, sometimes we find ourselves doing things to better our siblings so that we might gain approval from mom or dad instead of our siblings. In other words, we're putting our own need for justification or honor above everybody else. You've heard me share my love for running. Running is an individual sport, but on a cross-country team, we all train together, and the team who has the best score, lowest score, can win. And so there's been times where I've been running and doing my best, but I'm not having a great day, and my teammate goes past me. And so instead of me wanting for him to do well and to succeed, I find myself in the back of my mind hoping a root tree finds his foot and trips him so I can go on by. Putting myself above my teammate. Putting myself above the community. So we learn from this fifth commandment the importance of family, the importance of caring for family, and also the lesson of it's important to care for our community. We, however, sometimes find ourselves stuck in the adolescent years. As you remember, when you were a child, you were dependent on mom and dad. And so they gave you guidance. They gave you instructions. They told you what to go and where to do. But instead, we find ourselves as teenagers, where we're going from being dependent on parents to independent. And we find ourselves wanting it to be our will instead of theirs. And so we don't need any help. We don't need any wisdom, especially from God. Mark Twain observed, as a child, his father was the most ignorant man that he knew. But by the time that Mark Twain had become grown, it was amazing for him to discover how much the old man had learned. At what point as an adult did you realize that you were turning into your mom or dad? I mean, I know probably as children, maybe at least teenagers, we all promise ourselves, I am not going to be my mom or dad. And then as you become adult, you find yourself eating those words. I have two teenagers, and I have called my parents numerous times and just thanked them for everything they had to put up with. My brother mostly, not me. I was a perfect boy. But you gain a different perspective as an adult, and you understand a little bit more about the decisions that they make in helping us and in teaching us when we were children. So the importance then of being dependent upon our Heavenly Father. If we take this fifth commandment, honor your mother and father, and we apply it to our lives, then it gives us a better understanding of family. It gives us a better understanding of community. And so we all go back to the point, if we take to heart that first commandment, if we let God be God, if we honor our Heavenly Father, and then in turn, we're able to be a better part as a family member to our own family, but also to those within the community. I've shared this story before. My family and I, we were missionaries down in Alabama. We worked for an organization that partnered with the 20 poorest counties for 20 years. And so one of our jobs was working with church groups and partnering them with families within the community that were in need. There happened to be a lady by the name of Miss Reed. Now, Miss Reed had requested for some churches to come in and to help make some improvements on her home that would make it handicap accessible. She was caring for her aging mother, and she needed a door widened so the wheelchair could fit in for her mom to go into the bathroom. She also needed some handrails put up and a handicap ramp built. And so I went and I was meeting with Miss Reed, and just this story that she shared with me and the words and gratitude that she had for her mother impressed upon me one of the one stories that I remember the most when we were in Alabama. She said, growing up, my mom was a single mom. She had five kids in the family. She said it'd been easier for us to try to give the kids away, or easier for her to not take care of us because she struggled to push us off on aunts and uncles. But she did everything she could. She worked numerous jobs to care for her kids. And my sister told me that I should just go ahead and let my mom go stay in a home. But she said, I'm not going to do that. Because my mom cared for me, I'm going to do everything I can to care for her. And so Miss Reed had requested for church groups to come in, and luckily we were able to partner a group to come in and to work for a week and to build some handicap ramps and to make her home more accessible so her mom could live there and she could care for him. So Miss Reed, she took to heart this fifth command. She honored her mother by providing for her. And then in turn, the Christian community, in honoring our Heavenly Father, this church group was able to come in and to help provide for Miss Reed as well. So where it was not just the family that was involved, but the Christian family. And so as we take to heart this fifth commandment, and we look to see what we can do to honor our own mom and dad and our own community, let us look outside the bonds of family and to look within those within our community. How can we apply these lessons to those around us? What needs within the community exist that we have the gifts, the talents, and passions to help? How can we honor God? We can honor our Heavenly Father by helping those around us. Let's pray. God, most importantly, we thank you for all the many ways that you've blessed us. We thank you for giving us these commandments, these rules, these truths for us to follow and to live out, Lord. We pray that we're able to take each one and apply them to our life. We pray, God, that you will work within us, within our own family situations and dynamics that are there. Lord, I pray for each person here. If there are struggles that they face now within their family, I just pray you'll help them to work it out. I pray that you'll help them to put you first within their families, Lord, so they can seek your guidance and wisdom as dealing with their siblings, as their mom and dad, and whoever they may have. And God, I also pray you'll place a special call on each of our hearts so that we can honor you by going out and serving others. That we can look around and see that they may not be our family, but they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they are hurting, and you need us to help them. Pray, God, that you'll use us. Again, we thank you for the blessings you've bestowed upon us, and we continue to ask that you'll just be with us. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.